Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Everyday Bitcoin, a new Bitcoin, well, now not so new, but a young Bitcoin podcast focusing on Bitcoin's adoption and its use as money, the new everyday money standard. Today is May 21st, 2026, coming at you at a block height at 950,411. And not that we care too much about the price, because we're not here to talk about it on the podcast, but the timestamp is with the price and exchange rate. Really, it's $77,750 per coin, or a stat or a metric that I actually kind of prefer, because it makes it easier to think about it on the everyday and making your purchases, is that it's 1,286 sats per dollar. So that is our little timestamping. And today I'm here with a new episode. I'm here with Seth from Noster. Well, yeah, Seth is a hardcore ostrich, and he has several different projects that he's working on. Maybe we'll get into all of them, I don't know. But the one we're principally here to talk about today is his Zap.cooking. But I'll let Seth explain it all and introduce himself. So welcome to the show, Seth. How are you?
Hey, thanks, Keith. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for coming on. So what kind of little background info can you give us on you, in terms of, I guess, like your Bitcoin journey? And I suppose for this chat, we're definitely going to talk a lot about Noster too, which I haven't talked about too much on the show, so it'll be cool. But yeah, what's your Bitcoin story, your origin story?
Yeah, well, I mean, what's Bitcoin? What's Nostr, right? It all starts humble beginnings. Mine was really, I had a friend, like a lot of people, right? I had a friend who was sort of nagging me about it and saying, "Oh, this Bitcoin, you got to get some." And he was also into, shit coins and crypto stuff, and one that was supposed to be free and environmental friendly and all sorts of crap. But, Bitcoin had the brand and it had the history and all that stuff. So I was like, I need to just sort of like just do a deep study. And this is around COVID time. Like when that happened, I was like, had known about it, but I was always sort of on the skeptical, like some sort of policy shift needs to happen, some big change, right? Because I was reading up a lot of like macroeconomics at the time, reading up on like Ray Dalio and some of these like legendary investors and stuff like that. And then COVID came, I'm like, okay, well, it's time to, learn about this Bitcoin thing now that this has happened. And I went right to the Bitcoin standard, honest to God. I didn't like seek it out. It was just like, I need to learn about this, and this looks like the best book. And I just started reading it, and it was like, okay, it was hook, line, and sinker from there. And yeah, I mean, now it's just part of my everyday life.
Nice. I also read the, well, yeah, I feel like everyone's at the Bitcoin standard, but for me, it was, I actually, yeah, I read it towards the end of last year, I think. It was not one of the first books I read. I don't even know how that happened, but yeah, I do love the Bitcoin Standard,
The
classic
Bitcoin
book.
Standard, and there was a couple other ones that I went down and read about. And some of it was like blockchain type of stuff. So I was, I think everyone sort of starts in that phase where they're like, "Oh, what is this?" And you go for like the shiny new object too, and you're like, "Blockchain, what is this?" And so I, and I think that was good because it gave me just a deeper understanding of like the difference and, why Bitcoin is just a better option across all of them.
Yeah. And then since then, has it, I guess, how have you found like incorporating it into your life over the past several years? Have you been slowly but surely incorporating it more and more? And obviously you've built some projects based, well, not based on it, but that are heavily using Bitcoin in a value for value way. So how have you found the journey the past, I guess, couple of years as with
Yeah,
adoption?
interesting during those early days in, 2019, 2020 era, it was all about stacking and of course HODL culture and, which now I sort of think HODL culture is a disservice to Bitcoin because it just says, all right, just, take all the Bitcoin and don't ever spend it and just save it. And it's like, I did that for like years, just stacked it and then playing around with, mobile wallets and then cold wallets and all the phases, right? And I was doing all that, and of course it was really when I discovered Nostr that I started using Bitcoin more as a daily driver, right? Like, I'd never done that before. You know, Lightning Layer 2 was, I don't want to say it was new, but it was, you know, becoming more of a usable tool. Those were the early days with Wallet of Satoshi and things like that. But so I was a stacker until I was a zapper. That's sort of my transition. And of course, all in between, you know, when you get to spend it as money and like buy stuff, it, you know, whether it's like Bitcoin Park or Steak and Shake, I haven't been there yet, but, you know, just other applications, you're just like, wow, this is just awesome, right?
Yeah. Do you know, was zapping the first time you like sent Bitcoin? Do you know?
No. I mean, I did, you know, a bunch of on-chain transactions, of course, and, you know, had made money, sold it, and all the things that you go through during those cycles of learning. And, you know, I'll never forget my first, like, I'll say big on-chain transaction, you know, where it's a sizable enough amount, you don't want to lose it. And I was like completely, you know, because I didn't know, I guess what I know today, right. Of how the process works. And you know, you click the button, you're like waiting to see, does it show up on the other end? And like, just, you know, kind of like doing some breath work until you see that transaction show up. Right.
Yes.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I kind of played around, but you know, I didn't really have a lot of, you know, it's just people on Twitter I was talking to, a couple of my buddies and stuff like that. So, you know, just playing around in small group settings and local stuff, and, you know, on exchanges, off exchanges type of thing, storing it in different wallets. So it was just sort of a slow early introduction, but you know, it was about hodling yeah, and like I said, when I discovered Nostr, it was like, okay, this is different now.
Which I'd love to get into your Nostr origin. But real quick, I think, so I'm kind of, well, this is my third year, like, down the rabbit hole, like, truly in Bitcoin and learning about it and using it and all that. So I feel like I've come in at a time when the everyday money movement and the Lightning usage has been increasing. And I guess it also depends on who you follow in the space and who you're exposed to. Is if like all you consume is Sailor content, then it's literally never sell your Bitcoin. But now, unfortunately, he's also, you know, shitcoining with his Stretch and all of his preferreds, and is actually, no, that was someone on Reddit. Someone on Reddit was like, should I sell my Bitcoin to buy more MicroStrategy? It's like, no.
Yeah, I mean, he drives me nuts as a person, just because I just think, I'm with you. I think he's taking things in the completely wrong direction.
Yeah, but I'm sure, because I know, because Lightning's been around since 2017 or 16. Yeah, I always forget. So. But I know it's really only the past couple years where it's really started to take off and definitely get more usage. So I guess before that, I mean, before that was before my time. So I guess it's kind of hard to imagine what it'd be like when the kind of the only way you would send Bitcoin is on chain. I guess dealing with people, or I guess dealing with the frictions of a developing, and it's still developing, obviously, but a much more nascent Lightning network, and trying to use it as money and all the frictions you'd run into. And I guess more so because now Bitcoin, at least in the US, is much more mainstream. But when you came into it, it was much not mainstream. So I'm sure that asking the question, do you accept Bitcoin to a merchant back then, would have been even completely like ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. There, people forget that Bitcoin was sort of under a magnifying glass during the last administration, and just political winds, you know, changing things. And I remember, you know, there was a lot of people in government that were just very anti. Remember Elizabeth Warren and her anti-crypto army? You know, like, she had this ad that like explicitly said, like, I, you know, with a headshot that says I'm anti-crypto army. And it was like, you know, all the different departments were sort of doing these squirrely things that were just making it a little uncomfortable. Not that I was ever like felt like I was targeted or anything like that, but it was just, you know, around the edges, you could just feel the pressure that people didn't like this thing and saw it as a threat and were acting, you know, policy up around that.
Yeah, for sure. But with that said, what is your not both your Noster story, and you're able to give a little high background or a high level view on what Noster is? Because it's come up a little bit on this podcast, but you would definitely do a better job of explaining it than me.
Well, I'll give it my best shot. Noster is sort of like what Bitcoin is to money, but it is to social media. But I think social media is sort of misleading, and it's a little too grandiose to call it like a whole new internet, but it really is. It's a protocol, and it is something that you can spin up, portable identities, and your NPub, your NSEC, instead of having a username and a password, you have a key pair, which is very similar to what you see with Bitcoin. So that's why Bitcoiners have sort of migrated towards it. And then, of course, over the years, it has integrated Bitcoin as sort of the base monetary layer. That's not it not completely necessary, but it has worked with the Lightning, and now we're having some arguments about on-chain zaps and different things across the network. But it's I kind of see it as this place. It was this new place. I found it in 2023 on like the early days of, like, I think it was Jack Dorsey had tweeted it, and Domus had just come out, and Domus was kind of like the first like real mobile app client. And then, like, shortly after it launched, it was like banned in China. So it was like the perfect place for like for this libertarian mindset of individuals who liked Bitcoin, and it was just this new place where you could have conversations. Not everything, the early days were like everything was Twitter-like, right? But there was also Derek Ross had Noster Nests, and that early implementation was an audio space, so similar to Twitter Spaces. And there was just a bunch of people that used to just get on there and just talk and just chat, and like you and I right now, we have these conversations, and we do it for hours, right? And everyone was interested in this space that we were sort of building on, and nobody really knew what we were doing. We were just sort of playing around, and it was like a new sandbox, right? And it was janky, and it was unpolished, and things didn't work. And but there was also things that did work better than social media. For like example, you could put GIFs or GIFs or whatever you want to call it on your PFP and stuff like that. So it's like, oh, well, you can't really do that on Twitter or Facebook and have these sort of like experiences. And then there's like, well, you got to upload your photos and your video to a third-party server. So you're like, oh, so that sort of says that the client, whoever it is, and Domus, or now we have all these different ones, Primal, and all these different applications. Well, like, you're not putting your information on their servers. You're going to like a third party, and it's a link, and but it's working that way. So there's this interoperability that was like super cool. And the early days, it was just like the personality of like the people that were there were just all sort of like, hey, this thing looks cool. And we were just having just conversations, just social. It was like this new place to go have a different type of conversation that wasn't steeped in like political, stuff that sort of dominated a lot of the other spaces. So it's really cool.
Yeah, and what you said, I guess I never thought about it, but you mentioned that like Bitcoin is heavily integrated, but that it doesn't actually need to be, on the protocol level and for the protocol to do what it's doing. But I think it, and I'm sure you'd agree that the Bitcoin integration does supercharge Noster as a protocol and its ability to, well, to radically change the internet and how we use the internet by introducing value for value. Which, for those who don't know, and just to clarify, we keep saying zaps, and for those who may not know, in the Noster land, like a zap is essentially just a Bitcoin payment to somebody, which can be as low as 1 sat. So like right now would be less than 1 US cent worth of value. But where was I going with this? Yeah, value for value heavily is a major part of Noster. And so when you join Noster, sorry if I miss Understood. Were zaps already there?
No. Man, that's a good question. I can't remember when Zaps sort of came about. They came about in stages, and it was Will from Domus, who actually was the originator. In the early days, he was testing the idea, and he called it, you know, I'm thinking about this new thing called Bolts. And and then I think it was like Avi Burra weighed in, and Derek Ross were, and Daniel, and a bunch of folks are like, nah, somebody mentioned Zaps, and it was like, oh, a plus one for Zaps, plus two for Zaps, you know, and everyone just piled on, and they're like, all right, Zaps it is.
Zaps it
and
is.
That was defining the actual spec, the NIP, the Noster implication possibility or implementation possibility, which is like NIP 57. But before that, we were doing Lightning transactions. Wallet of Satoshi was like the original zapping method, preferred zapping method. Where and there was a point in time it was like, oh, you can do this, right? And so people were posting their Lightning invoices and just putting them out there for 21 sats, 100 sats. Actually, in the early days, we were zapping thousands of sats like pretty consistently.
Yeah, I've heard about like the million sat zaps and stuff from Jack.
Yeah, yeah. And then there was Zapathons, and there was a whole culture that sort of came about. But it started with just pasting, you know, Wallet of Satoshi Lightning invoices. And Wallet of Satoshi didn't require email or anything like that. So it was real easy to set up, and we were just zapping each other, and it was, you know, happening in real time. And that led to these Zapathons where people would just post memes and invoices. And actually, I don't remember if that, which came first, the NIP 57 spec or the Wallet of Satoshi invoices. But somewhere around all that time, it was just, you know, everyone was just having fun zapping and just showing like you could do this thing on this,
yeah,
these new rails, right?
Yeah, that's cool. I did not know that about the Wallet of Satoshi, and that you guys were just literally, yeah, just posting invoices and stuff back and forth.
Yes. Yeah, so in like around that time frame, you know, it was like early days, and sort of picking up on like conversations, like I was mentioning about in Noster Nest. That's sort of how Zap Cooking came about, was that we were just having conversations about domain names and, you know, buying domain names. And I was like, oh, this Noster thing really seems, you know, like it's going to be something, really. I had really high hopes for this thing early on, and still do, of course, but, but you know, that I originally bought the domain noster.cooking and tried to build an idea for a database or, you know, something that was going to work across these Noster relays and sharing recipes. And that's sort of how noster.cooking was originally born. And then we moved it to zap.cooking, and it's sort of taken on its own life ever since.
Mm-hmm. And actually, I just remembered where I was going with that. I just wanted to comment and say that I do think at times it is kind of cool just to think like, oh my God, we're just like a bunch of, what kind of weird people on Noster, but everyone's weird, but we're fun, you know, and different. Anyway, just literally just sending Bitcoin around the globe to each other for posting memes or making jokes or literally just like saying good morning or posting a picture of like your food. Like, it's kind of crazy when you think about. Like, I think years from now, it'll be crazy to think about, oh my God, we were just freely just dishing out hundreds of sats worth of, well, of Bitcoin for literally a meme. And with that, yeah, zap.cooking. So I recently found out about it last year. But so when did you actually, I guess, shift over to zap.cooking from noster.cooking? Do you remember when that was?
Yeah, it was around late 2023, around September or something like that. And
oh, wow.
Back in those days, you know, I sound like, you know, like the Simpsons meme, you know, back in my day. It was only a couple years ago, but it seems like a lifetime because so much has changed in the space, right? but the original noster.cooking, I owned the domain, and I was like, all right, now what, right? And back in those days, it was like, you know, pre-AI vibe coding stuff. So like developers were like almost like all stars, right? They were sort of the people that were like popular in the space. And, you know, they were the ones that were building these applications, like Domus and Amethyst were early. And there was a couple other ones. I think Satellite.Earth was pretty early on, too. Snort, Nostrinest, like I mentioned, all these different clients that were out. So developers were like the hot thing, and they were all in. And I wasn't, and still not a developer, but in that sense of like, you know, I've had some technical background in you know, professionally and tinkering and a lot of things over many years, but I wasn't a developer, so I needed to try to get somebody to help me work on it. And there used to be a site, I can't remember who ran it, but it was nostrabounties.com or something like that. And I was like, okay, well, and you could, it was actually like a long form note, which is, you know, different NIP or different kind that is used in Nostr. And I just said, and I think it's still, if you look at my like old notes from back then, it was like looking for somebody to help me develop this recipe database, and we're going to use it. And it was actually off a website called base.cooking. It's just a real simple recipe website that just captured the recipe, not the whole story and all the ads and all the pictures and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But, so that's how, it originally got started. And I connected with a developer, who's hasn't really been on Nostr lately. His name's Teal, or at least that was his, pseudonym. And, he did the original development and the original, repository. And it was, you know, janky, and but it worked, and it was a different idea, because everyone was building Twitter like clients, you know, that modeled the Twitter experience and the UX from Twitter. Not exactly, right? Different colors, different functionalities and stuff, but for the most part it was a social experience like this. This was something that was could be built on Nostr, that was designed to not be that, and you know, it was functional. It was serving a purpose to actually, you know, create something that's better than these legacy websites, which are filled with, you know, basically spam, you know, between ads and stories and all sorts of crap, when you just want to know what the chicken casserole recipe is, you know?
Yeah, makes a lot of sense, which I guess was gonna be a question, but you kind of answered it. So you did eventually land on turning Zap.Cooking into what it is specifically to kind of combat the broken and extractive like monetization model. Because most cooking websites are literally just ad farming and like affiliation farming. So that was the main driver behind doing it. Am I right in thinking that?
Yeah. I mean, that was the original concept. It was just to build something that's simple and, you know, straight to the point. And it was, you know, about functionality. And you know, that was and we're trying to, you know, keep it that way, you know, with this opportunity to build this new internet space out. So not, right?
Yeah, for sure. Did you guys do, because I'm trying to think, I feel like when I discovered it at the end of last year, I thought it was brand new. So did you do like a big design overhaul or something late last year?
Yeah. So we've done a couple different phases. The original phase was what I was mentioning. It's just sort of basic. Didn't have any pictures or images or anything like that. Phase two, I was working with Carnage. I think he's Holocat now. But he's been on Nostr forever. And he had a lot of experience in the design space, UI, UX type of work. So him and another young developer named Jack Shikani was also working in the space, and like, hey, you want to work on this? Because I didn't know what I was doing. And but we would, you know, collaborate between the three of us through conversations on Nostrinest or conversations through, you know, group text or whatever. And it created that sort of next layer, which was still all recipes, but it was also we added like visual images and just cleaned it up a lot to make it look, you know, much, much better, much more improved.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually we'd sort of land on, and I don't remember which came first, but through a conversation with my friend Bebo, he said about Zapdoc Cooking. It was just a more actionable name than Noster. Noster was very, you know, tied into Noster. This was like, you know, a little more freeing. Yeah. You could take it a bunch of different ways, but and that's how Zapdoc Cooking was born, or as it stands today.
Yeah, I think it's a great name. Definitely better than Nostradoc Cooking. It also just like rolls off the tongue. Zapdoc Cooking. Which before finding out about this, I also had no idea dot cooking was a domain.
Yes,
yeah, so that's cool. Do you ever randomly, like, real aside, have you heard of people having issues reaching it? Because I know maybe certain browsers might not support it. Or... Yeah.
No, I've never, I think I've never had any of those issues with all the browsers. So
that's good. That's good. That's good. And for the audience, I am a chef on Zapdoc Cooking. I've uploaded a handful of recipes. I want to upload a lot more. The problem is, and it's not really a problem, is that I'm a little bit of a perfectionist. I'm actually a lot of perfectionist. So I want to get like really good pictures. And whenever I'm cooking, I never take the time to like take nice pictures. And I don't want to upload a recipe that doesn't have pictures. Or at least like the whole like process pictures. And I also don't measure too much. Do you measure a lot when you're cooking? Or do you not do a lot of eyeball?
For the most part, I like... Cooking, not as much. Baking, I could not bake a cake without measuring stuff.
Baking's so hard.
I couldn't eyeball that, but salt and pepper, no problem. You know.
Yeah, but there's like at least 5 recipes I want to add there that I just need to, one, actually like, I guess, quantify the ingredients and then take good process shots, because I don't want to just upload like a finished shot. You know, I want the whole process. Make it really easy for someone to follow.
So one of the things I've been trying to do to make it more user-friendly, easier, and the cool thing about it, right, is you said I'm a chef on Zapdoc Cooking, and I was like, oh, yeah, I guess, you know, technically you are, but that's also your Noster profile. So, like, that's not owned by Zap Cooking. You're just sharing, you're providing your keys and saying, hey, I'm going to put a recipe up here, which is commentable, likable, zappable, you know, shareable. And even you can create your own cookbooks now. So that's the cool thing, is it's you know, monetary for the person who uploads it. It's their experience. They own it. And I just provide, you know, it's like the landscape to, you know, go do your thing on, right? So
yeah, that is true. It is true. And for the, I guess, the audience listening who's not familiar with how it may work, what's up the saying is that, like, my profile on Noster is that I sign into Zapdoc Cooking with my private, with my Noster keys, and everything I do with my keys follows me wherever I go, whether it be Zapdoc Cooking or Nests, like Seth said earlier, or any of the like Twitter Lite microblogging stuff and all the other various things. So it's pretty cool how Noster works, is that you are you no matter where you go, and you take everything with you. So everybody could be a Zap Cooking chef, even if they just upload one recipe. So it's kind of a cool way to think about that. Have you gotten a lot of, I guess, feedback from people? I don't want to call them creators, but I guess we'll call them chefs. Or I guess just people that use the app in terms of, like, I'm just thinking, like, for a non-Bitcoiner, like, let's say my mom, non-Bitcoiner, have you received, like, what's like the UX flow from if they find a recipe they really like to then wanting to send it some value? Do you get feedback from people on that path, or any obstacles along the way? Or
You know, a lot of people who are users on there are probably heavy into Noster or Bitcoin, so it's technical folks or curious folks. But to your point, I mean, our approach has been to try to get that normie culture to say, hey, you don't have to be a tech nerd to be on Noster or Zap Cooking. And, you know, our focus has been around, you know, expanding from just recipes to food culture. And we have, you know, over the past, we're almost pizza day, huh? Tomorrow.
Yeah.
And,
it is tomorrow.
Yeah. And, so we're, you know, early in, or mid-May and about the beginning of the year, been working on it, collaborating. I don't know, you know, Daniel, the Daniel, maybe Daniel.
The Daniel, yes.
Yeah. So he's been supporting a lot of PRs and just collaborating with other folks like the team at Bronta and just growing the list of features. But to your question earlier, you know, how do we get feedback? It's Nostr users say, I would like this, you know, tag me in it, or, you know, make a comment on the repo, or, you know, send a DM or whatever. And, you know, those, so it's in a sense, you know, it's built out by the community. You want a feature, we're probably going to add it if it makes sense. You know, if you want Ethereum's apps, probably not, but anything that sort of aligns with the mission, building community, or, you know, making it easier for users, then most likely yes. And that's just been, especially the past, you know, 6-7 months, has been just a lot of just building those features out. And I think we've come a long way to try to get, you know, the normie type of person. We're probably going to explore some simpler logins. We have a good login flow and sign up flow, but been thinking about, like, you know, certainly doing the passkey option and have some stuff built out for that. But, you know, maybe even like a Google, Apple type of login where your password's saved in your keychain or something, but just trying to simplify it and give users options to try to log in. So, you know, your mom, your grandma, whoever is, you know, comfortable just clicking buttons and getting on and participating in the community.
Yeah. That'd be awesome. Oh, we, yeah, lowering the friction as much as possible, or removing the friction as much as possible to get the normies and the non-tech people and on board with this. Because, yeah, I think it's kind of like a meme. Like, everybody that's ever used a recipe website, it's like, you go to the recipe, and then it's just a wall of garbage of ads and, like, the person's backstory and their life story and their elementary school trauma. And then you finally get to the recipe. And Zapta Cooking, it's just bam, right there. No garbage, no fluff. Because of the great thing that is Zaps and the ability to do value for value. And not needing to sell ads or sell affiliation. And I don't even know why people include all that backstory to begin with anyway. But it's great that it's not there on Zapta Cooking. Do you have any stats on zapping on Zapta Cooking? Or any other stats in general?
Yeah. I never really built anything out. You know, there's folks that build out those macros for zapping aggregates and things like that. I never really did specific, because it'd be kind of tough to narrow down exactly which client, although it's probably easier now than it was. So I don't know exactly how many people are zapping. I mean, you get the different recipes, you can go, you can see the collections and who's zapped what, and probably something we can build out though as a future feature, something just to, you know, what's the, instead of saying something that's top liked, something that's top zapped means that people put monetary value into it and, you know, they appreciate it more than, you know, a like is just sort of a social commitment, I guess. And, you know, a zap is, you know, I feel you, man. And I'm sending you some real value.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Entirely. I think it would be cool to see like sort by top zaps. That is literally, you know, money is literally the best, I guess, way to show your support for something. If you're literally willing to spend money to just show your support and say, this is good. Because anyone can leave a like, anyone can leave a comment. Comments, you know, more effort than a like, but if you're going to actually be like, I actually want to say that this is good, thank you for the time and the effort of uploading it and making this recipe, and boom. Yeah, that'd be awesome to see. I see behind you, and the audience doesn't know, and I also see on Zapta Cooking, there's Bread and Toast. Is that, oh, yeah. Are you also affiliated with Bread and Toast?
So, or is Zapta Cooking affiliate? Dan, he's a friend, and so he's come to Nostr Valley a couple times. He's, you know, regionally local, if you know, that's many, it could be many hours away, right?
Yeah.
But he's and one of the things we added to, and yeah, some may call it controversial, but I saw it as a way to sort of highlight projects and give people, because I need an outlet, right? Like, I want people to know about Zap Cooking, and there's no real good way outside of me posting, right? So so Bread and Toast is a collection of comics that he draws, and it's his brand, and he has a website. And so he's been a sponsor of Zap Cooking for quite a while. And we built out a workflow that you can come sponsor Zap Cooking for, I can't remember what it is, a pretty, you know, comparative, like, normie type of thing. But, you know, it's for that community. If you want to share your project, you can put it up on the main page when you go to zap.cooking. You know, it's kind of our explore page, which has, you know, the different cooks you can reach and look at their recipes. You can look at what's been recently posted. We have long form articles that we point to as part of that. It's just sort of a discovery page. And then at the top, we have a banner option to, you know, which supports us, you know, through Lightning Network. So it's all Bitcoin related, and, you know, you need to pay a Lightning transaction to do this. And but yeah, Bread and Toast is one of our original sponsors, and he's been doing it for a couple months now since we've introduced that.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I've seen, I don't think I follow him on Noster. I should if I don't. But I definitely seen the little comics. Pickle Dan,
I think.
Oh, Pickle Dan? Okay, yeah, I know Pickle Dan.
Yeah. But that is actually, I'll get it. I know no one can see, but it is so the original Noster Valley, which we did, was in State College in 2024, and he made these, and he made 10 of them, and I got one of 10 for its, you know, lasered out steel. Bread and Toast, cool. Noster Valley, one of 10. So, it, you know, it's a treasure to me, and he brought these up, and it was really cool, and cool keepsake. So it's in my office here. I keep it here.
Yeah, I think that kind of stuff is cool. Just little ways to bring the physical, well, not bring the physical, bring the digital world into our physical lives in terms of little things like that. Would you, does Zap.Cooking offer any kind of merch or anything? I think I saw, maybe not through you guys, but some company was doing merch. Yeah,
actually, another fun feature we built out is a marketplace, which is built on Noster, all Lightning transactions. But we have a store on there where we have t-shirts, and we have some little desk stands. I got this little, ones for Zap Cooking, and I got these little Noster ones available, and ship them to you. It's just another just cool layer that we can just do things. You can just build these things, and it's like, okay, why not, right? So find a way and just keep doing it.
And is that your 3D printer next to you?
Yeah
That's cool.
Yeah, that was kind of like another, it's similar, you know, similar thing. We have technically minded people who are all curious and tinkerers, and, you know, myself included, and I'm like, oh, I want to try a 3D printer. So ask Noster, hashtag ask Noster. And, you know, people start giving you feedback, and then, you know, like, okay, next thing you know, you're building stuff there. And that's this little Noster thing I was showing is a 3D printed desk stand thing. And the Zap Cooking ones I, you know, had designed. And yeah, so those things are available, and t-shirts and things like that.
Nice. Very cool. And I guess it's would kind of be in the vein of the sponsorship, but I had the thought of, cause there's people like, you know, Peony Lane Wine, Ben Dressman, and, there's a lot of other, Oshi and his butter. Like, I was wondering if there's, maybe it's a sponsorship or was another place to do it, but I'm sure, I feel like other people on Noster, Bitcoin businesses, etc., would want to, I guess it'd be a sponsorship, essentially be a way to showcase their product, and also probably, like, I know on Oshi's case for his HODL butter and his other stuff, he has recipes on his website that incorporate the butter. So, like, why not put them on Zap.Cooking as well? Or, like, have a dedicated, like, Oshi. I guess he would do that. I don't really know.
No, Oshi, I'm a customer, a fan, a friend, a follower, all the above, right? And he has a store on Zap Cooking, and he was one of the original sponsors. You know, it's time, you know, it's time, so you can buy 7 days, 30 days, whatever. But you know, he was one of the original ones to support me, and I've supported him and appreciate his work. But that's the whole idea, right? You could sponsor everyday Bitcoin on there if you wanted to, and it's just really to get extra eyeballs in this, you know, what we call that circular economy. Because we're not taking like any corporate sponsorship or anything. Like, this isn't for like, you know, Procter and Gamble to come in and start advertising. It's for somebody with a Lightning wallet who wants to come on and show off their project and get some extra eyeballs on it. You know, that we're happy to support that. So, and you know, we sort of automated it to a good way. Now I did put, you fear the worst, right? So, you know, put some tools in there. So if like I get spammed or something, I can stop it. Right. So that there's some control, but for anyone that, you know, wants to participate in that circular economy, then, you know, why not? And a lot of it, it's like the nature of Nostr, or the nature of what I see on Nostr, which is separates from what Bitcoin Twitter. You know, there's people that are builders that just do things. Like, Twitter is certainly a good community to connect and have conversations, but they're not, and maybe they are building, you know, but like here, there's a lot more collaboration, a lot more building, a lot more, you know, supporting each other. Like you mentioned, Oshi, you know, selling his HODL butter and different things. And many people that are just doing their thing, and everyone's supporting each other. It's like this new emerging economy that's all built on Lightning.
Yeah, it is truly awesome. The I mean, we're few. Not a lot of us on Nostr. But it is pretty neat that we are essentially the world's largest circular economy. I don't know if I'd say largest, but definitely geographically, because it's literally everybody around the globe that's on it, which is really cool. And I hope that cooking continues to grow. I don't know if it's because I'm getting older. I'm in my early 30s now, and that I've been living alone the past several years. But I feel like it could just be like the things that I said, but that cooking and home cooking and recipes have been on the up and up in society over the past several years. I feel like more people are getting into cooking and like wanting to experiment more and actually like taking the time to learn to cook. Do you feel that at all? Or
yeah, is it just me? I think COVID sort of amplified that, you know, it's these new hobbies, and you think there's like cooking channels, you know, and people that, you know, showcase their recipes or what they're eating. And, you know, food is something that every single human and animal, for that matter, have in common, on this planet, right? We all eat, whether, you know, it's for nutrition, but also for, you know, savory, and, you know, it's some degree of dopamine hit, you know, your taste buds, you know, you like the salt or the sugar or whatever. And cooking itself is a bit of an art form, right? So you're taking all this timeless stuff, and there's tradition, there's connection and community that's built into all of it. You know, I was just at my great aunt's funeral. She was 104. And, one of the things everyone brought up was her egg recipe, right? So like, this is something that a legacy she carried with her, right? She cooked it at certain meals, and you know, you got to learn to do it like her and stuff like that. And so these things transcend generations, and it's something that everyone has in common. So that's why it seems like such a good place to a good direction to build.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree entirely. One of my first thoughts when I found Zap the cooking was like, wow, I wish I kind of thought of this. Because I'm always thinking of ways. I always have so many projects that I want to like build, and like ways I can, I don't know, do something cool and fun with Bitcoin and Nostr. And that's like, man, this is totally something that's necessary, that's needed. And like, yeah, I wish I thought of it. But I'm glad to see things are going well with it. And I hope they continue to go super well, even better, on the up and up. Are you able to share any kind of like upcoming cool features or updates or anything that'll be coming up down the pipe?
Yeah, a couple things. I know, you know, we're just constantly working on it and have some AI layers as part of it and through like a membership program that we built out. As I mentioned about, you know, looking at adding passkey as an option. We're doing some other kind of creative things around, and this is Daniel's baby, I'll call it. So we have an integrated wallet. You know, you can actually back up your wallet through Nostra relays, through your NSEC and stuff like that. So just building out all this simplicity around it. I think that's kind of the, you know, we build out a lot of features and I think we're feature rich for what it is. Like I said about the AI recipes, you can do your own cookbooks and stuff like that. So I think it's about just simplifying and just getting that flow more aligned. So it's easy for grandma to come in and sign up and participate in this new, you know, they called it like Web 3.0, right? That was a buzzword that a lot of folks were, you know, using and ad agencies, I'm sure, consulting agencies involved to get that together. But, you know, Nostra's just, I don't like to call it that, but it is a new version of the internet, which integrates identity and, you know, monetary aspects as well as community. And I think it's a great place to be. And the people are great. There's a lot of fun that happens just in the space culturally. And then, you know, beyond that, you know, some of the things I mentioned about Nostra Valley, we're doing these meetups, you know, IRL. You know, Bitcoin Park has Nostra Nights now, which is like I think a monthly or quarterly experience. And so you just go, you know, the people you talk to all day, just go meet and hang out. And it's good times.
Mm-hmm. Have you been to the Nostra Nights at all?
Yeah, I was there in February.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I see Derek's there often, which
I would love. He I think there was another one last month. So I think it is quarterly. They're doing it quarterly for now.
That's cool. I'm in Nashville a decent amount for work. And I've been to the park twice. Twice. But hopefully it'll line up with one of these events. So I don't know if I can swing going down there just for like a night. Have you thought, you mentioned AI, and I immediately thought of, and maybe this isn't exactly the idea, but because they have those websites, I guess more so it's for alcohol, but I guess probably recipes. If you input your ingredients, that tells you what you can make. And I feel like that would be super cool to integrate with an AI on Zap Deck, okay, saying, this is what I have, this is what I'm in the mood for, my constraints, et cetera, and it spits out community recipes.
We have that built in. We have three features using AI. One is a sous chef, I call it sous chef, and that is where you can copy and paste the recipe, and it'll format it into the Zap Cooking recipe format, and you click button, uploads, click button, post.
That's great.
And another is an image, same thing. You just put an image in, it reads it and formats it accordingly. If you put a recipe link in for like all recipes or whatever, so just click and paste the link, it'll upload it. Same thing. Zap Cooking format, click button, done. And then we have I called them originally Zappy, but I renamed them the Chef B. But exactly that, like I have chicken and broccoli in my fridge. Give me a recipe. Or you could just pick, you know, surprise me and it'll give you a surprise. And then the other layer, and I think this is cool, and we have a lot of room to grow in this, call it Nourish. And basically it takes you have a little leaf button on every recipe and you click the button and it'll total your Nourish score and did it a little different. So we're looking at real food, gut health, protein. I think we have like heart health, and there's another one or another two. But anyway, it takes all these and it just gives you just a ranking, a score, and you know, talks, gives you a little summary of like, here's why. And then, you know, what we did is like, you can actually write those scores to a relay. And now I can start sorting and organizing it based on that information. So it's a future sort of search curation type of functionality that it built in. But I think that one's going to have some legs as we continue to build that out.
Very cool. Very exciting. A lot of, I love this UChat thing. Like just the ability, because if you're somebody that already has maybe your recipes on your website or elsewhere, and it's very just low friction just to import them and just add that cooking rather than, you know, having to just redo the recipe that you've already done somewhere else.
Yeah.
So that's cool. And I wonder, I guess it's a tool for AI. If someone has like a handwritten recipe, take a picture. Oh, yeah, wait, see, you do that, yeah.
Yeah, you could do that. Another cool feature that I built out is a recipe book. So maybe you don't even know because I haven't marketed it well enough, but the recipes you uploaded, you can create, or you can create others, and you can create recipe packs. And, you know, this is just a curation of different recipes. And then that recipe pack, you can actually click, and I have it behind a Zap wall. It's like 2000 sats or something like that, but it'll print out a PDF of all your recipes, and you can put like a cover letter or not, or a table of contents, or you can add different things. So you can create your own recipe book. It's not like, you know, shipped to your door, but it's on a PDF, and it works pretty good.
That's cool. I wonder if drop shipping or printing on demand, I wonder if that's a potential.
Yeah, we'd like to build it out eventually, but, you know, it's a little more involved there.
Cool. Well, I think we could probably we should start wrapping up. You know, I've had you on. There was technical difficulties for the audience, so Seth and I have been on this call for a little bit longer than the podcast has been going on for. But Seth, if I can, I guess before I ask my non-Noster, non-Bitcoin question, is there anything else you would like the audience to know about Zap-Zap Cooking, or anything at all? You love to
stow? No, just come join us there and sign up, leave a comment, tag us on Noster. We're on Twitter as well. But you know, that's just mostly for marketing purposes. But we're you know, look forward to people trying it and giving us feedback and letting us know again what they want to see, and we'll build it.
Great. And I'll put a bunch of links in the description for people. And if I can, I like to ask the show guests, a non-Bitcoin question, non-Noster question. That's okay.
I'm ready.
All right. What makes you lose track of time? And the answer can be Bitcoin or Noster, but ideally it's not.
Honestly, I lost track of time during this conversation. So, but I think it's a little bit of that, and it's around community, right? The modern world has sort of, isolated us to some degree, and COVID sort of amplified that. And, you know, we're all community-based people, social beings, and, you know, it's really when we get together and have conversations, you know, IRL, or, you know, even through an exchange like this, which is video conference, you know, you're connecting with people, and, you know, that's there's something extremely valuable about that in this modern day. Generations ago, they used to go to bars, or they used to go bowling or whatever, and those things still exist, but it's just not the mainstream anymore. So I think, you know, just having these smaller sessions, you and I, or in a group, or at Noster Valley or whatever, you know, for me, it's just, you know, being amongst friends that, you know, really loses time.
Nice. Great answer. I agree. I do feel like, though, the IRL, the meat space, people are, the yearning for that is on the up and up, which I'm happy to see. But yeah, I agree that the conversations about, well, not about anything that anyone finds interesting, but just having meaningful conversations are where it's at with friends and with strangers too. I mean, with anybody. But yeah, just good times. Cool. Well, thank you so much, Seth, for coming on the show. It's been a blast. I'm going to go cook I'm starving. But
Nice.
yeah, thanks so much for coming on. I'll put a bunch of links in the description. Zap.cooking.com. That is the website, that is the URL. Yeah,
Yeah, no
it's gonna be
dot
it's gonna
com.
be
Although
the
zapcooking.com will take you there too, but
Okay.
zap dot cooking
That's cool. That's
works
good.
as well. So.
Yeah, great. Well, thanks again, Seth, and thanks everybody for listening, and we'll catch you next time. Thank you.
Thanks,
Bye.
Keith.